Bibles with me if you have them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. You know, I love having the access to hundreds of different versions of the Bible in my iPhone and my iPad, but there's still nothing like having my Bible. You know, there's nothing like having my Bible. Nothing like having the Word of God. And I carry it everywhere. You know, anybody that's ever seen me with my at the airport or help me with my backpack, saying, "Oh my God, what's in this backpack?" Well, this Bible is heavy. But guess what? What's inside of it's heavy too. So I can't go nowhere without it. I take it to Europe or to Mexico or wherever I go. This is going to meet a mighty men of valor. And has my name on it. But most of all, it has his name on it. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to just read four verses and I'll let you be seated. How many of you are excited about what God has for you? I want to know, are the men excited about mighty men of valor? I don't know, man. It's not the same. Like the girls, when they're going to women's convention, they're like excited. They're already done with the convention and they're excited still. Let me give you guys one more opportunity. Fellas, are you guys ready for mighty men of valor? Yeah, you better get used to that because over there, you're gonna seem weak amongst the thousands of men that are fired up. Amen. You better get your voice on. Amen. You notice my voice? I was singing like that because I had to get used to that voice because in the crowd of 5,000 men, well, I need to sing loud. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness," Paul says, "in fear and in much trembling. I was with," he says, "my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words or of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith," everybody say my faith, "that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." See, your faith cannot be in the wisdom of mankind, but it must rely on the power of God. Somebody say, "I need the power of God." Father, we love you and we thank you, God. One more time, we pray that you speak to us and that you'd use me, God, I pray, to speak your word with clarity and with total understanding. Let people begin to comprehend what you have for them. I pray this morning, God, I pray that you, Father, just anoint me with a seven times greater anointing that we might get this word and run with it, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, turn to somebody and say, "It takes faith." Tell them, "It takes faith to follow the vision." And you can be seated. I want to just allude to our text here where we see Paul writing to the church of Corinth. And, you know, Paul was an apostle. He was an apostle. And what the definition of an apostle is a sent one. The one who has been sent by God, but also the one who can I just paraphrase it, who takes countries. Our founder's an apostle, a true apostle. He's taken over 34 countries. Right now he's on a mission for Panama, and then he is brand new. It's not highlighted that much. You saw a little bit of it there in Guadalajara. But Guadalajara is now the new hub of Mexico. It is the hub. We've moved the urban training center, the UTC, from Baja California to Guadalajara. They got this huge house. There's a hub there. There's a move of God happening, and it's going to be the hub, the base for all of Mexico. And then also Frankfurt. You see Frankfurt. Those are the two hot spots in the world right now. You see where God is raising up. And that's not done, my friend. That's not done with human wisdom. That's only done by the power of God. And so Paul is telling the church, he's writing to the church of Corinth and speaking to us, and he's telling us, your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. In other words, you can't figure it out on your own. There's so many of us that we try to analyze and we try to tear apart and we break it apart and try to figure out exactly what God is doing and why he's doing it and where he's doing it. And we try to figure it out and we rely on our own wisdom and we try to read books and we try to get on the internet and find out. And even some of you even ask Siri, what is God doing? I wonder what she'd say if I said that. I better not do that. I'm going to get in trouble, man. Last time we did something like that, it turned out pretty good. But I don't know if it'll turn out good like that, so let's move on. But think about it, we try to figure out what God is doing. We try to figure out on our own wisdom, and you know what? You gotta stop doing that. You gotta start relying on the power of God. That's why prayer is so crucial. I'm telling you, prayer, when you spend time with God, and you spend time alone with Him, there's a way, even if you don't hear anything, and even if you don't get nothing off the pages when you're reading, when the time comes, when the moment arrives where you absolutely need His power and wisdom, that's where it happens. Sometimes I don't know exactly what's going to happen until that very moment, and then I see God come through, and I realize and recognize the fact that I have relied on Him, on His power, instead of my own human wisdom. See, our faith must be fueled by His power and His power alone. We need the power of God in our lives. Now, remember what Hebrews chapter 11, a very familiar portion of Scripture, says in verse 1 and 2. It says, faith, in the NLT, says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see with our own human eyes. Through their faith, verse 2 says, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. In other words, those that way back before the Messiah ever came, they kept on keeping on, they kept on moving on, they kept on marching on, they kept on praying on, they kept on believing, and through that they became a good reputation. That's why they're in the hall of faith. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed by at God's command, and that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Ooh, that's good. The great British evangelist, George Muller, if you haven't ever read anything on him, you should, because it's powerful. He said this, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith, listen to this, faith begins where man's power ends. We have a lot of wise and smart and genius people. In fact, this generation we live in right now is probably the smartest generation to ever live. Absolutely. The youngest people know so much. My granddaughter, she lives with us now. I'm blown away at what she knows. This generation possesses a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of knowledge at your hands. But never mistake knowledge for wisdom. Never mistake, because, well, I know this and I know that. So what? You and millions of other people know that. But if you don't know, comprehend it, if you don't know what to do with it. See, we have a great vision in Victory Outreach. We have a great global vision. And our vision is very simple. It's just to reach hurting people around the world. Simple. Real simple. Super simple. To reach treasures out of darkness. To go into places where nobody else wants to go. You know, I was so blessed the other day to be part of the, and I thank God for all of you. How many of you were there at the prayer? It wasn't a powerful day to have all the body of Christ together and to be on the platform with different denominations and different people and to hang out with people like Bishop Cooper and Skip Heitzik and Pastor Brian and all these guys. And, you know, Pastor Skip came over to me and says, hey, Pastor Danny. And he hugged me and he goes, and he looked at me. And I'm saying this because he was saying it to me, but he's really saying it to you, to us. And he grabbed me and he looked at me in the eyes. He's pretty tall. He's about 6'6". So I'm like right here to him. So he grabs me and he bends over and looks at me like that. Kind of like Harden did last night when he was getting interviewed from the little girl like this, interviewing him like that. He reaches over like that, talk to her. And I'm like, okay. And he looks at me and goes, thank you. With eye-to-eye contact, thank you for what you guys do in this city. And I thought, coming from somebody that has one of the top 25 largest churches in America, he looked at us, and he looked at us, and he said, thank you for what you guys do in our city. And with that, I wanted to celebrate you guys. I think you missed your cue right there, because it's you guys. All the work you do, all the money you give, all the things you do, it doesn't go unnoticed. People know that Victory Outreach, when we show up on the block, we rock the block. Come on, somebody. So we need faith to follow this great vision. We can't just follow the vision just in our human wisdom. If we do, you'll get tired. I'm not going to ask you this question, I don't want you to have to lift your hand. But there's been some times where some of you have been doing your own wisdom, and you've gotten tired and burned out, and like felt monotonous and felt like same old, same old. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The gospel might seem like it's the same thing over and over and over, but it's new every morning. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. And our mission is never going to change. We're always going to be running after people. Just our methods might change a little bit. And I want you to know, don't get tired. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season, you're going to reap. God has called us to the four corners of the world. You might say, but what does that have to do with me? If you're part of the body of Christ, it has everything to do with you. See, this body, this hand cannot say to this foot, I don't need you. It needs you. How are you going to put your shoes on? Feet? Look at the blood. Your blood runs through the whole body. It starts off on one side and pumps through the heart and goes to the other side, comes back up the other side, and it just repeats that cycle after it cleanses to the liver and the kidneys, and it repeats that cycle over and over and over. It's doing it right now. It's beating right now at maybe 60 beats per minute right now. Some of you 80 minutes per beats per minute, and I'm right now probably about 85, getting ready to go to about 90 in a little bit. But I want you to know something. That blood, you need that blood to go out through the whole body. You don't just need it in your foot. You don't just need it in your hand. Listen, we're part of the body, and the body has a need around the world. There's people. Listen, you know what was exciting? It was so exciting to see the other day is that some of the pastors from India, we now have 6 churches. There were young pastors from India, and I saw them there testifying at the mother church, and man, I got chills in my, I go, Barb, look at these are the young pastors from India. We're going to see revival in India, one of the largest countries of the world. You know what Sister Barb said? She didn't say, oh, that's nice. She said, let's go. And I said, let's. Let's go, my friend. Start chilling it up, getting ready to go. I was on assignment there to begin with. Pastor Sonny changed me. I literally was on assignment. For United We Can, I was going to oversee Israel when we had the church there, and India. And Pastor Sonny asked everybody where they were going. And he goes, what about you, Danny? And I go, Israel. And he goes, no. He goes, I want you in El Salvador. I said, orale. Called Joe and said, let's go, man. Some of you are going to find yourself in one of these countries. You're thinking of your little job and your security is going good right here, your house. And you got some roots, trying to keep them roots down deep. I'm talking about there's a lot of you here. Some of you young ones, you think you're all settled in. This is me. I'm following the footsteps of the other person, and my leader, right? He did it this way. Some of you are going to find yourselves in the other parts of the world. One day. Some of you won't. Some of you are going to be right here at this base, sending and funding, praying, visiting, coming back. Whatever role you play in this great vision of the gospel, of the great commission that God has given us as Christians. Victory Outreach is no different than any other church. The Baptist Church has world missions. The Assembly of God has world missions. Calvary Chapel has world missions. They all have world missions. There's not one ministry that doesn't have world missions, because if you're a true church and you have a burden for the world, not just your city. But it takes a lot of faith, man. See, our vision is global. It's bigger than us. And that's what we need faith to follow it. If our vision requires a lot of faith. And whatever role you play, man, play it good. Whatever you do. You know what? That right now the NBA playoffs are right now, and there's some of the guys. They're pros, but they're not scorers. They don't score points every night. If you're KD and you know Kevin Durant, he's scoring 40 some points. Harden scoring 40 some points a night, and these other guys. But some of those guys are just there to block shots or get rebounds. But that's their role. It's not they don't get all the highlights every time. They don't get the interviews after the game. But the reason why they win championships is because they're part of the team. We're part of a team, a big team, and worldwide team. And it's impossible to follow a vision from God without faith. It's impossible to be United Can member every month and give $50 or $100 or $200 or $300 a month without faith. In your own mind, say, well, I can't do it. I can't give $7 a week. I can't do $30 a month. Because with your human wisdom, it's going to be hard because you already tithe and you already do this and you have this bill and that bill. But I want you to know something right now. When you get a hold of God's business and you take care of what God cares about, He'll take care about what you care about. When you begin to take care about what the church is doing and you say every time we have a vision, say, how do I sign up? How do I get involved? Like Love Week. You know what Love Week is? I've been part of that board. You know what Love Week is? Love Week is simply, let's take a school in our neighborhood that's all messed up and let's go paint it. Let's go help put some tile. Let's cut the weeds. Let's do something. We can do our own project and people will come and join us, or we can join somebody else's project. We have to make a decision by next week because it's coming quick. But it's just Love Albuquerque, and all of us are doing it. We're all being part of it, like Convoy of Hope. And we need volunteers. We need you to be part of it. That's locally. We're doing stuff. We just had the most amazing egg hunt. Hundreds of people got touched by the power of God. We'll do rallies all week and all month, all summer. We're doing dramas, man. We're having the famous a drama Shotgun coming in August, man, all the way from the Bay Area, Pastor Esteban Pineda. But we're having a lot going on, man, basketball tournaments. We're going to do a lot locally, and that's good. We're going to continue to do that. But God has called us beyond our city. Our vision is bigger than us. He has called us to the four corners of the world, my friend. We're in over 34 countries, but there's a lot of countries that are calling on us. There's a lot of cities that send us a victory outreach. And my question is, who will go? See, God gives us the capacity to dream. We all have dreams. And He gives us the capacity to develop the vision in our lives. You see, a vision operates like a compass to help us direct our lives. You need a compass. When you're out in the mountains someplace, you know, when I remember when I was in the military, and I'll never forget, we were on some active duty here locally, and they sent us up into the Manzano Mountains, and they gave us a map, a grid, and they gave us a compass. They said, find your way home. And the guys were like, well, I know how to do that. And they went like that, and I just waited back for a little bit. I know how to use a compass. I waited for a little bit, and when they didn't, finally everybody was going back and forth, and everybody's like, well, hold on, stop, I said. Give me that thing. Grabbed it from me. These guys were higher in rank than I was. But I said, give me the compass. I said, you guys, we're going to be lost out here. You want to stay the night here? I can handle it, but can you? I can hang in the mountains overnight, but can you hang in the mountains? You'll know where I'm at. You know how I'll know? You just look for the brightest fire from here down the valley. And say, oh my God, there's Pastor Danny up in the Manzano Mountains. Because I will pile some wood and I will light that thing on fire. They'll find me. See? But it's like a compass. You need a compass. You know what our compass is? The gospel. It keeps us true to the plumb line. The gospel of Jesus Christ keeps us fueling us in faith and in word and in deed to continue to do what God has called us to do in our city, in our region, in this nation, and throughout the whole world. That's what the body of Christ, that's what the church is called to do. We're praying for revival to wake up the church. I'm over there praying at the national day of prayer, saying, revive the church. And you know who I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about you guys too, because you know what? Sometimes we can be dead. We need to liven up. We need to start dancing a little more. We need to get more excited a little bit more. We need to start showing up a little earlier. We need to start showing up every Sunday and every Wednesday and let this church be alive so we can be a light to the hurting out there. There's hurting police officers. There's hurting drug dealers. There's hurting lawyers. There's hurting dope fiends. There's hurting prostitutes. There's hurting people. Listen, just a couple of nights ago, one of our UNM Lobo baseball players was shot shot in the chest and died right there at Nob Hill. Not in the valley, not in the drug connection, not in the war zone, in Nob Hill. And it took Nob Hill to get our mayor's attention. He's been talking about all the murders, but he ain't made no promises yet. And yes, today in the paper, he says, we are making a commitment to find out who killed this guy. Well, what about that other kid that just got killed in the west side? What about him? We have a problem in this city. The only answer there is the church. The church is the hope of the world. That's why we need to be revived. We can't just be religious. We need to be in revival. We need a radical move of God in our church. And that means you. It takes time. It takes prayer. It takes counsel to develop a vision. And it takes finances. See, it's taken time to develop this vision. Victory Outreach is only 52 years old. You know how that's a young ministry. 52 years is like a long time. But for ministries, that's young. But this coming year, 34 years. We're 34 years this year. In March, it was 34 years this church has been established. Our vision's God's vision. We're following His vision, not our own vision. In God's Word, we see that Abel reminds us to leave a legacy. We want to leave a legacy. I was sharing with John yesterday. He said, when I go home to be with the Lord, I want to know that you and all the people who come behind you, they said, Pastor, develop leaders to take on to the future. Enoch inspires us to faith walk, to walk faith. Noah challenges us to obey God. You see, then we look at Abraham's life, and he teaches us to follow God's vision across boundaries. The boundaries of comfort, the boundaries of security. He had it made where he was at, but God called him out and he stepped out of where he was at and he left his place and went to search for God, what God wanted. Webster's dictionary defines a boundary as anything that marks a limit. Abraham lived on the limit between the known and the unknown, the seen and the unseen. He learned that faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. There are boundaries that we have to begin to live beyond. Even the things I'm talking about are some big things. And some of you are saying, how can we believe for that? We can't believe for this. But I want you to know something. I don't just see what I see right here. I see the unseen. Because I'm a man of faith. I believe further than what my eyes can see. And I know this God is bigger than what I can do. So I know if I'm with Him, I know that if I'm following what He's saying to do, that He'll provide and He'll make it all happen. Come on, somebody. Now, I want to share a couple of boundaries real quick before we close. See, first boundary is you must live beyond the boundary of the known. What you know is safe. What you know is easy. It's easy street. Huh? Hebrews chapter 11. Turn with me real quick there. We should be that same page because we were there earlier. Hebrews 11 and verse 8, catch up to me in the NLT, the New Living Translation, reads like this. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even, verse 9 says, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. And for he was like a foreigner living in tents. Didn't even have a place to live. And so, listen to me. So did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Think about what he did. He lived beyond the known. He crossed a boundary. Some of you ain't crossed a boundary in so long, you don't even know what it looks like on the other side of town. See, God challenged him to step out in faith, cross that boundary of the known into the unknown. Abraham was forced out of his comfort zone. And what happened when he did? He experienced God's power. He experienced something brand new. Man, when was the last time you experienced something brand new? Something exciting. Huh? He hit the road and he didn't even know where he was going. I remember we used to do the same thing. I remember we being smart. We'd get the car and we'd just go. Where are we going? I don't know. We're going. That's something I love about going in the mountains, man. When I'm during like fishing, hunting time, I go to the mountain. I just ride. I just go through places I've never been. I mean, I know a lot of places. I've been doing it a long time, but I love finding new horizons, new places. See, he obeyed when he was called. He didn't question God. He didn't try to psychoanalyze God. He didn't try to figure out the plan. He didn't say, well, but what about this and that and this and what all? He didn't try to get the equation and try to figure out the equation on a board. He just said, okay. And some of you got to start just saying okay to God. And some of you, this is going to be a tough one right here for you. Some of you just got to start saying okay to me. And quit trying to psychoanalyze me. Well, when does Pastor want me to do that? He wants me to go out and pastor a church. Well, he wants to kick me out of the church. Or he wants me to stay right here. I want to go out. He wants me to stay right here. What's wrong with him? Doesn't he know I hear the message? I'm called. Quit trying to psychoanalyze. Just follow what God says. And if God speaks to me about something and I share with you and I say, man, I really feel it in my heart, man. You say, okay, Pastor. See, he obeyed. He followed God's vision. Too many people question the Lord. See, when we respond to the call of God, we cross the boundary of then known into the unknown. Ah, there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than going on a river or on a stream when you're fishing and you're fishing all the holes you know, and then all of a sudden you cross over into a fence, you cross over to a place, and you get up to a place you said, I've never been here before, and you toss a line in there with a worm or a fireball or something like that, and then, oh my goodness, and you stay there for about 20 minutes, catch your limit there. You look out and you say, oh, my God, look at this place. Oh, I love it when I'm hunting, when I'm walking up in the mountains, and I'm in a place like that. And I said, I've never been on this mountain before. Look at the view. Oh, and I just sit there. There's something about that, crossing boundaries, crossing into the unknown that does something for your future. All great people of faith have had to cross this boundary. Noah built an ark without seeing one drop of rain. Daniel stepped into the lion's den not knowing if he would be eaten or not. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped into the fire not knowing if the God's going to come and put a fire extinguisher on them or what he's going to do. But they were not burned. In fact, God revived a nation because of it. Paul regularly changed his directions and his plans at the whim of God. When God spoke to him, he would just shift and he would go. Not like a crazy man, but like a man on a mission. Like a man with faith. These people didn't know how things would work out. They weren't sure if they would even survive. But they lived beyond the boundaries of the known. And they saw the hand of God work. Oh, come on, somebody should be excited right now. See, we all struggle with God's plan and direction at times because we want to see everything laid out for us. We'd like it to be easy. We'd like to say, man, I can't be with that because I need to know. I got to know. And when we step past the boundaries of the unknown, we must ask the important question, who is it do I want to please? Do I want to please God or do I want to please myself? Do I want to please the Lord or do I want to please my job? Do I want to please God? You've got to ask that tough question. Who do you want to please? See, our security should be knowing and who's leading the trip that we're going on. Instead of us just having to have every little dot and every I dotted and every cross T, and we're just, I don't have it like that, OCD, OCD, OCD. Just let go and let God. Second boundary is we must live beyond the boundary of the seen. So first, the seen. In order for Abraham to fully grasp the vision that God had given him, he had to cross another boundary, the boundary of the seen into the unseen. God revealed a picture of the vision in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 through 7. And the NLT says, then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, look up into the sky. And he told him, he goes, all the stars, that'll be their descendants. And he believed, the Bible says in verse 6, that Abram believed the Lord. And he counted it as righteousness to him. See, Hebrews says the vision was greater than the offspring of the land. Abraham and the ancients endured because they saw the bigger picture. Until you see the bigger picture, when we see those videos of Frankfurt, Germany, and we show those Guadalajara, you're saying, what does that have to do with me, man? If you can connect to the bigger picture, you'll be able to see things clearer here. Listen to me. If you can connect to the bigger picture, you'll start seeing everything around you here clearly. And you'll start having a heartbeat. There's a heartbeat for God's people, for the lost, for the broken. See, the vision we have requires big faith, but it also requires us to see the big picture. Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and many of the others stepped across the line of the scene despite receiving the promises that were unrealized in their lifetimes. They died not even seeing it. There's many people in our own church congregation that at one time sowed seed. Some of them gave $5,000. Some of them believed God and fasted and prayed with us for land, for our home of our own. And then they died and went home to be with the Lord, and they didn't ever get to see this building. Pastor Jerry said, one thing I ask, please make sure there's a window someplace. That's all he wanted. Just make sure there's a window. And I think about all the people that haven't enjoyed what you're enjoying now. But they believed. And they followed. And they sowed. And they worked. And they stayed. And they didn't leave. And they stayed right there when people left our side. They stayed right there believing. But then God brought them home. Took them home. See, the vision is bigger than us. It's longer than our lives. Pastor Sonny's going to be 80 years old. He's been asking lately, I don't know how much longer I have, but I want to give him what I can. So the vision's going to go way past him to his sons. Now his grandsons are on fire for God. I've been hanging out with his grandsons. You should see his grandsons, the way they pray. These are his grandsons. There's a generation, and then there's another generation. And one day there's a future. If the Lord tarries another 20, 30, 40 years, his grandsons will carry this vision to the future. Are you with me? See, those who achieve most in this life focus on the next, not on the present or the past. Some of you should focus on the present. You should focus on the past. Let's focus on the next, on the future. That's what visionaries all have in one common. They have faith for the future. Amen? See, live like Abraham on the basis of unseen realities. Live beyond the boundary of the seen and the Holy Ghost. Listen, I want you to know the Holy Ghost will teach you, show you how to live beyond the seen. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you don't have the Spirit of God, the power of God upon you, you're going to stop and question every little thing, every turn. You're going to question. Instead of just saying, Holy Ghost, lead me. Lead me to a place I don't even know about. Something I can't see with my own eyes. You'll show me in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. The third boundary we must live beyond is the boundary of the possible. See, Abraham had to learn the patience of faith the hard way. In Hebrews 11 again, chapter 11, verse 11 through 12, it reads, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, 100 years old. A nation with so many people that the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore, there is no way to count them. Sarah even laughed at the possibility when the Lord showed up. We're too old. They were looking at their natural eyes and looking at their bodies and saying, we're too old. Our time is past. You see, faith is looking through the eyes of the unseen, not what you can see. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. In order to follow this vision, the vision that God has given us, we must live beyond the boundaries the things of what looks possible. Pastor Sonny used to stand there in St. Louis Street, Glass Street, and the International Club, and then the Montebello High School, and then the Mother Church, and you know, La Puente County. When you stand there and say, some of you guys, we're going to go out to the four corners of the world. There was a group, not even a third of this group, just there all standing together, just looking at each other like, he's talking to us? Sister Julie would look, get him after the church because you were talking big, sonny. You were talking so big. My God, you know who you're preaching to? He goes, I see it, Sister. I see it, Julie. I see the future. I see. See, the vision is bigger than us. This vision we have here is bigger than what we see here. You know, and I know that if everybody that comes to our church would come every Sunday, if you would come every Sunday, I'm going to throw one at you, every pastor, so if you would just show up every Sunday, we would pack out this place. Philip LaCroix prophesied over us last week. So it won't be long until you have to go to two services. It won't be long until this place is going to be too small. You're going to have to get a bigger building. And I'm looking at him. At first, I'm looking at him like, I'm as a frustrated pastor, I can't get everybody in this church at one time on a Sunday. And then I saw the picture. I said, oh, I see what he's saying. That's what I've been saying all along. But I got caught up in that religiosity. I got caught up in that thing where it's pulling me to that place to say, oh, but they're not coming. And I don't know what to do. And I don't want to. See, we don't want to dance on our heads. And we don't want to give gimmicks. We just want to preach the pure vision of Christ. Listen, if reaching hurting people is not enough for you or enough for people, then I don't know what else to do. Listen, I'm thrilled when a family gets saved. I'm thrilled when a young man comes to the altar and breaks and gets in the God's anointed now generation. I'm thrilled. Does it thrill you? When I say each one, reach one. There are so many of you that are always bringing somebody to church. You come up to me, Pastor, I brought this person for the first time. I say, I get excited. Fourthly, real quick, we'll land this. We must live beyond the boundary of sacrifice. The walk of faith always costs us. It costs. And our kids know it. They came up here and they're singing this song and they're all dressed up. And you parents, you invested in their clothes. 2 months they've been rehearsing. And they were saying this, I believe. I believe. I believe. Oh! But do you believe? You know how it is? Send off to school. Send off. You got to believe more than they do so they can follow somebody. See, visions are tested, man. My vision has been tested throughout all these years. Tried. I've been tried by all kinds of things. Abraham came to the understanding of this reality. He had to find it out in a unique way. Verse 17 in chapter 11 of Hebrews says, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. You know the story. I'm not going to get into it. God told him to take your son, the son of promise of your old age, take him to the mountain. And he did. And we know the story. The story is before he could do it, the angel of the Lord stopped him. God provided a ram in the thicket. And they walked back down the mountain. And Isaac grew up to be a leader of Israel. And then his offspring. And it went on until Jesus came. See, imagine what Abe must have felt walking up. He must have been horrified. You got to remember that Abraham at one time probably worshipped a lot of false gods way in the early days. God got a hold of him. And then he began to serve God. That's when he sent him. When he got right, he sent him towards the promised land. Abraham now has become so sold out that he's willing to sacrifice his only son. Because you know what? The vision will cost us. Abe responded in faith and crossed the boundary of safety into sacrifice. Think about it. The breakthrough comes when we pass the boundary of safety into where our lives are sacrificial. What do you want, God? What do you need from me? Like, I'm going to tell you right now, in a few weeks after Mother's Day, how many saw that all that fence out there? See that wrought iron fence out there? We just got that donated. That's about $12,000 or $15,000 worth of fence. We've been wanting to replace this prison chain link out there for a minute, but we ain't got no money to do it. So God gave us that. But guess what? We need some supplies to put it up, right, Dave? Right, Larry? We can't just put it up like that. It's got. We need concrete. We need this. We need that. All kinds of things. So I'm gonna hit you up in a couple of weeks. Just get that in the back of your mind. I'm not gonna tell you which week because I want you to show up. I want you to not show up. Amen. Sacrifice. So don't you want our place to look beautiful? And then soon we're gonna do the whole front. It's gonna look beautiful, but in time. Power of Abraham's incredible faith, this unbelievable willingness to give up the most important thing in his life, is a phenomenal example for us to this day. When I hear it preached, it touches my soul. When I preach it, I believe it. See, faith's path is one of dying to our own agendas, our own goals, our own aspirations, and instead living for God's will instead of our own. Like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, living beyond the boundary of sacrifice fills our lives with joy. And we ride that wave hard, man. Come on, somebody. Our vision's got to go beyond boundaries, though. You got to ask yourself these two questions today, and I'll close. What picture do you see for your future? See, the way you see your future is so much more important than the way you see your past or your present. You have to be able, listen to me, you have to be able to envision the future before we achieve it. And the second and last question, do you have a passion for this vision? Because I don't know about you, but there's so many hurting people in Albuquerque. And you know, one of those hurting people might be the next pastors in Argentina. Think about it. Maybe you're not called to go to Argentina. Maybe you're called to be a United We Can member and be a base here. But that one you reach... that one you reach might be the next Nikki Cruz, the next Sonny Argonzoni, the next Dan Sanchez, the next Danny Sanchez, the next Pat, the next Joe. Who knows? We're going to reach. We're not gonna do it if we're just all closed up in our own business. We got to step out beyond the boundaries of our own life. Step out beyond it. Don't let it scare you. Do you have a passion for the vision? No vision comes to fruition without passion, sacrifice, and dedication. When God calls us to a task greater than ourselves, always He does. He always does, but He always provides. We have a God-sized task in this city. We have a God-sized task in this nation and worldwide. And let's go do it together. Amen. If we surrender to God in faith today, we will be amazed at how He moves and the limitations of our own personal boundaries. God blesses those who live in faith beyond those boundaries. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads real quickly. Nobody looking around. Just bow your heads for a second. You see, the Bible says that our faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, we got to quit trying to figure it out. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Quit trying to see with your own eyes and let God start to show you. Cross the boundary of the known. Cross that boundary of the seen and the possible and move into the impossible. Cross into sacrifice, man. Quit letting that hold you back. Our vision must go beyond these boundaries. Whatever role you play, be committed to that role. Of the vision. The vision operates like the compass. Remember, don't forget. The vision is our compass. It shows us who we really, really are. And without faith, we can't follow this vision. So if you need faith to follow the vision, I'm going to call an altar call today. I'm going to ask them to sing this song. And as they sing this song, I want to open up this altar today. For those of you that say, Pastor, I need my faith to be increased. I need, there's some boundaries that I need to cross over. I've been trying to be too safe. I know I need to open up myself in my marriage more. I need to open up myself into ministry more. I need to cross some boundaries. I've been held back too long. From all over this place, I'm asking all to stand to your feet. Everybody together. And I want to open up this altar to come. Come and meet me at this altar and let me pray for you. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord. I don't know God. It'd be nice to have a vision, but I haven't even started serving God yet. If you're here and you say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to start serving God. I want my family to start going forward. And I want to invite you to come. I want you to invite you to come right here to this altar. Give your life to God. Give your heart to Jesus. Watch what He does. Watch how He ministers to you. Come on, from all over this place. I'm going to open up these altars. Come and get your breakthrough here. Pass the boundaries today of the known and to the unknown, of the seen unto the unseen, of the possible into the impossible. Oh, safety in the sacrifice. Oh, if you can use that to think, Lord, yes.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Oh.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
If you can use anything, Lord,
you can use me.
One more time, if you can use anything.
You can use anything, Lord.
You can use me. Hands, Lord, touch my mind, yes.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet,
oh.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
If you can use
anything, Lord,
you can use me. I can imagine the way Moses must have felt when God said, go to Pharaoh, man. Oh, you know what he said? He said, I can't talk. Who will I say send me? He just came full of excuses because it was a big task, man. It was a hard task. It was a lot. There was a lot there, man. And he had to come right there. Right, he saw the face of God, right, the burning bush. And he said, go, I've heard the cry of my people. You know what he said? He said, I can't speak well, but I'll go. And he went. He needed help with his brother. We all need a little help from our brothers and sisters. So we need to build good relationships. And I'll tell you something right now. I will tell you something right now. That if Moses, one of the greatest leaders in the Bible, if he struggled with crossing the boundaries, then that just shows us that we're not alone. That the way we cross, the way we struggle with our crossing our boundaries, it's just like those men of God. David also. All of them. Esther, when God called on her to save a nation, she was like, how am I going to talk to the king? How will I do this? Until you realize when you cross the boundary of faith from the known into the unknown, that God will use your life. I don't know where you're at. I'm not sure what boundaries you need to cross. But I do know this, that if you cross those boundaries, God will use you to His glory and honor. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus for those here today that said, I need to cross boundaries, Lord. I need to move past the boundary of my safety, of my security. I need to be in, out of the comfort zone. And I need to be in that place where you want me to be. I want you to be in that place where you can use me the way you want to use me. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you'd unleash the presence of God, the Spirit of God upon my life, and that your anointing, God, fill me. I desire to be used mightily by you, but I can't because I can't cross the boundary. Lord, help me to cross the boundary of faith. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I'm going to pray for those today. And say, you know what, Pastor, I don't know the Lord. I don't know Christ. I don't really know Him personally. And I really want to give my life to Him today. I just don't know what to do next. And I simply start with a prayer. And then it starts moving forward from there. If that's you here today, you just lift your hand wherever you're at. Say, I want God in my life. God sees that hand. Anybody else is that? I want God in my life. I need Jesus. I need a plan. I need a future. And I don't have that. I want it. That's you. Just lift that hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody, come on, everybody, lift your hands in this place. I just love the Lord right now for a few moments. I want you to spend a few moments with Him right now.